Can we turn, please, to Joshua chapter 1? And before beginning to look at this particular passage in the book of Joshua, it might be helpful just briefly to look at Joshua's history. In Numbers 13 and verse 8, we read this. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. And so that was the original name of Joshua, Hoshea. And he was, of course, the son of Nun. And in verse 16 of the same chapter, we learn that Moses changed his name to Joshua. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent out to spy the land. Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And the name Joshua actually means Jehovah is salvation. He was the servant of Moses, and he had a strong relationship with him. And he commands his leadership for the people. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 38, we read this. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moses, of course, laid hands upon Joshua in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And of course, Joshua also proved himself a warrior. We could read of that in the conflict with Amalek, described in Exodus chapter 17. Joshua was a man who was called. Joshua was a man who had been trained. And Joshua then succeeded Moses as the leader of the people of Israel. And so right here, at the beginning of the book, we have Joshua's commission. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. It's almost, if you like, a continuation from the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Some people have said that Joshua is a sequel to the book of Deuteronomy. And what is now taking place is after 30 days that the nation and the people have mourned for Moses. Moses is dead, but the work must go on. And they used to say, didn't they, the king is dead, long live the king. And it's a reminder to us all that no one is indispensable. No one is indispensable. People say, what will we do when so-and-so goes to glory? Well, things will go on, or things will stop. No one is indispensable. And the work of God, you see, is not hindered by the death and removal of his servants. Yes, Moses died, but the Lord raised and called Joshua to take his place. And however great a man or a woman may be used in the service of the Lord, there will come a time when the Lord says, come home for your reward. The Lord spoke to Joshua, thus saith the Lord. And what is Joshua to do? He's to regulate his conduct. by the words and content of a written book. Of course, we today would look to the scriptures, to the Bible. That's how we base our lives. That's how we base our church constitution and our church practice and our way of living individually, families, as a fellowship. We base it, we trust, on the scriptures. And as I say, Joshua has been trained and prepared under the tutelage of Moses for the task that he was going to be given. He wasn't just parachuted in, so to speak. And what a lesson that is. That, hey, we need to pray that the Lord will raise up young men who are willing to learn under an experienced man. So when that experienced man gets home to glory, the younger one can take over, prepared and trained and ready to go in the next phase of their ministry. And Joshua waited in the Lord to be installed as the new leader. You see, Joshua is God's servant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. Joshua is God's servant. I suppose if we put it in modern parlance, you could say he could be called God's prime minister. And he was to be the one who would carry out the Lord's commands, the Lord's purposes, and the Lord's designs. The work must go on. God's purposes are not changed just because Moses is dead. They're not changed because there's a new leader. And God sometimes changes leaders. And sometimes he'll do it to demonstrate that he's not tied to anyone. We have to be very careful that we don't put people on pedestals. You know, we go and listen to this man because, wow. And it's so easy, isn't it, to put a person on a pedestal. But Joshua is now the leader. He is to arise. The work is to go on. And of course, nearby was the Jordan River. And it stood in the way of getting into Canaan. Or should I say, it flowed in the way of getting into Canaan. And at this time of the year, there was no visible means of being able to cross this river. Later on, we would discover that the river is in flood. There are no bridge. There's no boats to cross it. But the Lord will give the people the promised land. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. It's there given to them as a possession. In the previous times, it was given as a promise. But now, it's given as a possession. And the time has come for the Lord to make good the promises he made to Abraham all those many years before. It's for Joshua and the nation. And the whole of the land belonging to the seven Canaanite nations will be occupied. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. The use of the foot, treading. Basically what it's saying is, if you stay in the centre of the Lord's will, things will go as they should. But sadly, as we read in the later history, it was their unfaithfulness which made things difficult. And this was Joshua's specific duty, his specific task, his specific ministry. Nobody else. It was given to Joshua. And the Lord today gives specific duties to people. He calls them into different works, into different ministries. And that's what he expects them to do. Not to worry about what other people are doing, but this is what I would have you do for me. And sadly, as we read, it turned out to be a limited conquest. They took a number of strongholds. They defeated the armies that came against them in the field. And Joshua was able to establish the people of Israel in the positions that they had won. And then, of course, he then divided the whole territory among the different tribes. They must carry on the conquest. You see, Joshua was the leader. He was enabled by the Lord to lead. But the people also had to follow. And they had to obey. And so a great responsibility was given to them. It's a wonderful blessing when we have a godly leader. But we need godly people to follow that leader. And basically what the Lord is giving is this. Canaan is a sovereign and free gift to the people of Israel. And bringing it up to date for ourselves. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is a sovereign and free gift of the Lord to us. They, of course, didn't deserve it, but neither do we. But we read in Psalm 115 and verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth." And then a couple of verses in Titus chapter 3 in verses 5 and 6, we read this: "Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour." This conquest is going to take time, it's going to take effort. And God doesn't promise always to give victory over our enemies at once. And perhaps we should not expect it. And verse 4 gives us that scope of what they're going to conquer. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. From the desert of Arabia in the south to Lebanon in the north. From the river Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, which of course is the Great Sea. And Lebanon, of course, means the mountains in Syria on the northern border. It talks there about the Hittites. It's a word, if you like, for the Canaanites. And apparently, the Hittites were the most warlike of the tribes that lived in Canaan. And they were also called Amalekites. And the children of Israel, sadly, never possessed all that land. And this was due, of course, to sloth, cowardice, and disobedience to God. But that which was taken by degrees. And it's only in the time of David and Solomon did the whole area come under their influence. But God shall be with them, and Joshua will succeed. A promise that was given will be fulfilled. We read in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And in Hebrews, in chapter 13, and verses 5 and 6, we read this. Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do for me? The promises of God are for us today. The promise on the basis of the commission received. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now Joshua may need some protection, even from the people he was to lead. But Joshua must fear no one. No man, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You see, Joshua will never be left destitute of inward support or outward assistance. God's presence will never be withdrawn from Joshua. And divine promises given to particular individuals are of general use to all believers today. Faith, not sight. We too must have an unquestioning confidence of God's purposes in our hearts. And when things seem to go against us, we could take an example of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in the fight against Moab and Ammon. We read in 2 Chronicles 20 and verses 20 to 22, these verses. They rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army, and were saying, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And then we read in the same chapter, verse 24, So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and they were dead bodies, fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil, because there was so much. We read, do we not, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 19. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. And the reason? For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And just a couple of verses from Acts chapter 18 and verses 9 and 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. You see, Joshua had a major task ahead of him. He had to cross the River Jordan. And then he had to begin the conquest of the Promised Land. And the same grace that enabled Joshua, the same grace that enabled God's servants in the past, will be with those of us today who seek to follow on. Joshua was a great man of courage, a great man of resolution. But he knew the people he was going to lead. He had seen the problems they'd given Moses. There were indeed powerful enemies to be faced. But the Lord would be with them. And of course things are no different today, are they? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And a verse from the Psalms, Psalm 31 and verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And of course, Joshua will eventually be responsible for dividing the land amongst the tribes of Israel. He will see the beginning of the work, and he will see the end of the work. And he is a spur to energy and a spur to effort. He is to be strong. And verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Wonderful words, aren't they, from the Lord to this man. Wonderful effect of assurance. To know that God is with him. He's not to, you know, he's to, in a sense, look away from the difficulties. Don't worry about the River Jordan. Don't worry about Jericho. Look to me. Look to the Lord. And look to his promises. And the same for us. If we look at our problems, we go down. We look to the Lord. He sustains us. And Joshua must be a man who's going to put all his military skill, all his natural and providential ability at God's use for God's purposes. And that is the condition on the promise that no man can or will be able to stand against him. God's enabling and God's assistance is promised wherever he goes. And God will never help those who refuse to help themselves. And Joshua is to remember that he is the Lord's subject. And true wisdom surely is observing and obeying God's command. He is to use no pretense, no deviation. He mustn't get sidelined. He mustn't end up in Bypass Meadow. He is to carry out the godly way of the true art of government. It's much more specific there in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage to this people. You shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua, walk in the way of God's commandments. You need to be resolute. You need to persevere, but also at times to be submissive. And courage is needed to obey. There is to be no compromise. There is to be no pragmatism. There is to be no expediency. But it's thus saith the Lord. And there is a need, of course, to count the cost. There is no place for those who would be described as nominal professors. There is that need for persevering effort. There will be long marches. There will be protracted campaigns. And much heavy fighting. And the Christian life, of course, is a life of warfare. There is no respite. There is no break. It's the exactness of obedience, neither to the right nor to the left. And you cannot pick and choose. And perseverance in the Lord leads to spiritual prosperity. The path of obedience is always the path of blessing. And Joshua must have a copy of himself, of the book itself. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe it to do it according to all that is written in it. For you will then make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua consulted the book of the law. Joshua followed the book of the law. And for us, we have the full scripture. We follow it and consult it. Keep God's word, and God's word will keep us. There is a need for careful study of the word of God. And the word of God, remember, is set above Joshua. Joshua is the leader, but Joshua is under the word of God. No one is ever above the word of God, and that applies today to people who would like to change the word of God or cut bits out of the word of God and whatever. The condition of success is the same today as it was for Joshua. That is unswerving obedience to the word of God, guided and governed by the written word. He talks here about meditating on it day and night. And meditation on the word of God does lead to true progress in godliness. It's not really optional. We read in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7, we read this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And in Luke chapter 9 and verse 44, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed unto the hands of men. But let these words sink down in your ears. It's not optional, is it? It's wrong to be so busy that we have no time for the word of God, for prayer. Because once we neglect that discipline, things will not be. It is deceitful, and the heart will be lacking. In Psalm 119 and verse 97, we read this. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You see, it's not a task. It's a joy. Now, there couldn't be a man more busy and with more responsibility than Joshua. Joshua was to be a man who was to do. He was a man of action. And meditation is the preemptive of action. It's not just a matter of approving God's commands, but a matter of performing them. Seek always to be in the centre of God's will and follow his ways. Remember, this is the Lord's campaign. Joshua is his servant to carry out his commands. And Joshua, if you like, is obliged to obey God. And the Lord will carry Joshua through everything. Joshua, I say, will be able to rely on his faithfulness. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, do not nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the third time that Joshua is bidden to be courageous. He will not be faint-hearted. He will be called upon to face many difficult situations. There is a need for moral and physical courage, and it's the same today. There is a need for us to have that moral and physical courage to stand up for God's truth wherever we are called to make that stand. And Joshua and we ourselves must keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. The more that we are concerned for the wonderful blessing acquired by following God's commands, the more we will desire to keep them. Now, I'll just say this, that Joshua was not Superman. He was flesh and blood. He was called to an extraordinary ministry by the Lord. He was extremely gifted and able and competent. But he was not Superman. He had times of weakness. That's why he's urged to be strong. We all have times of weakness, don't we? As the Lord comes up and says, be strong. He had times of fright. He had times of fear. So what's he to do? Do not be dismayed. It's so easy, isn't it? We perhaps see things on the news or hear things on the news. We see situations developing. And it's so easy, isn't it? It gets so dismayed. What is going to happen? But the Lord says, don't be dismayed. Don't be frightened. Don't be fearful. We always just remember this, that Joshua was a faithful man. And we remember that Joshua received a distinct call. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And if the Lord has called us individually or as a church to a certain task, then we can say that the Lord will be with us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Be strong. Be of good courage. For to this people you shall divide, as I say, the inheritance. Joshua had that unique, particular call from the Lord. And remember this, that Joshua was a man of the word. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do it according to all that was written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Surely if we were to take anything home this evening, that's it. The challenge for us today. To be bold. To be courageous. Not to be dismayed. To have and ask the Lord for courage. And to stand in a day of ungodliness, a day of liberalism, of almost everything. What this country needs is believers, Christian men and women, who stand for the truth of the gospel, who stand for the truth of the scriptures, and who know their God and know that he's with them, and he will strengthen them and enable them. And may the Lord help us in our day and age to think on people like Joshua, a man of flesh and blood like we is, but so used of the Lord, and how the Lord could use us in the way that he would choose to use if we would obey him. Let's pray together for a moment.